If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me is my co-host Jessica Lewis, who pulled herself away from Christmas cookie baking to talk about Ashley.
And I have so much more baking to do, it's not even funny. But yes, this was very important, so I pulled myself away, so here we are.
So are they salt and vinegar cookies?
Let me tell you, if I could figure out how to make some salt and vinegar cookies, I think I would. I'm up to the challenge. I should try that.
I think you would involve salt and vinegar.
You know what, though? I tried to make my own salt and vinegar chips, and that was a big catastrophe. It was horrible. They were terrible. I don't know. I tried. I was so excited about this concept. Like, I'm going to make my own, and they will be delicious. No, real bad. So I gave up on that.
I mean, at the state fair, they just sell fries and then you pour salt and vinegar on them.
Well, and I've done that too, and that's delicious. But you don't have as much of the crunch. You know, with the chip, it's the crunch.
It's different.
But I do like dunking my fries in vinegar. I do like that very much. It's delicious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Probably an in-depth discussion of salt and vinegar is not what people expected when they hit play on this podcast. So
you have to expect it with me.
Well, that
it's
is
part
true.
Of, it's part of my bio, for God's sakes. Like, this is like, it's a big deal. Big deal.
All right. Well, maybe we'll move on to Ashley, though.
Yes. And I don't know if she loves salt and vinegar chips, but if she doesn't, she should.
We should have had Rob ask her that question.
Right?
It should just be a standard question from now on.
I think it should be. That's a good idea. I support that fully.
I'll send Rob a memo.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, Ashley ended this episode by saying she couldn't believe it, that she had been voted out. And you said in the opening moments of the People Fan Forum with Andrea, where you were a returning guest.
Yes, I was.
That this was a surprise. Now, I agree with both of you. And of course, I've been saying for a while now that I expected Ashley to be in the final three as, well, a bit of a goat. So something obviously changed. Personally, I think what changed is that Ashley's shoulder massage for Devin last episode wasn't all that great.
I have a good theory as to what changed. A very
okay.
good theory. I do. And I don't know if you want me to address it now or wait.
Probably wait till it's the appropriate rule. We don't
okay.
want to spoil everything.
Right. We don't want it all to be too soon. But yes, I was surprised. This was a move that neither one of us, I think, anticipated. But I was mulling it over because I was really surprised by this decision. Kind of like the JP decision, which I still don't understand. But in this one, I actually came up with a theory as to why it was Ashley as opposed to JP when they voted him out.
Oh, okay. I was like, as opposed to JP. JP's already gone.
No, but the JP vote, that all of us were left scratching our heads.
Yeah.
Why did they pick JP? And we never really came to a good, solid reasoning as to why they picked JP. I think that I have an idea that I feel comfortable with that makes sense as opposed to a JP. I'm still wondering.
Okay, well, that's good because this is the Why Ashley Lost podcast, so we should have a good idea by the end of it. I do also have a piece of information that I think helps with the JP idea later on.
Ooh,
so,
interesting.
Yeah, so you're saying I shouldn't bet everything that it was the shoulder massage then?
No, I don't think it was just the shoulder massage.
Okay, all right, well. Moving on, I guess, if you're going to poo-poo that idea. A number of people pointed out to me on Twitter how calm the tribal council was, which I also noticed. You know, when Ben showed his idol, we didn't see massive scrambling and running around like we've seen before. So I think it's pretty clear that the rest of the tribe came in with a solid plan B, and her name was Ashley.
Yes.
You know, Ashley said in her interview with Josh that she and Ben tried to get the tribe to vote out Mike with them, but nobody budged. And both Ashley in interviews and Joe on Twitter noted that the part of the tribal council where, well, they all agreed to vote against Ashley was edited out. Now, I'm guessing that's because it would have made the outcome too obvious. But this is a problem I and others have had all season. And I don't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast before. I know I have on Twitter. Okay, we're already here. We're watching. It's the last few minutes of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to change the channel before the final votes are read and the torch is snuffed.
Right.
We want to see why decisions are made. And I'm really getting annoyed with the producers blindsiding the viewers.
I do think that the one line that she said Devin said to her at one point during Tribal was he apologized. He actually looked at her and said, I'm sorry, Ash. I think that could have been a great TV moment because here's two people that have this close relationship and have been playing the game together. And suddenly you are watching it literally fall apart before Ashley's eyes. And I think that would have been great TV. I would have loved it. I think it would have been wonderful.
Yeah, but I just don't understand why they keep editing out the stuff that helps explain what happened.
Right.
I mean, we see them talking about Mike. Oh, you want to do Mike? Mike, Mike, Mike. Oh, it's Ashley.
Right.
What?
Yeah. It's all very interesting. But she did say in one of her interviews, because you had mentioned the plan B, that if you don't have a plan B, you are probably the plan B, which I thought was rather interesting.
Yeah.
And this is that one tribal council that she really said she went in without really thinking anything other than it was going to be voting for Ben. And that was that. Hadn't really had as many discussions throughout the day. So, yeah, I think the read that Ashley had going into it was that something was brewing, but she really didn't read it all the way through.
Right. And yeah, I have some notes about that for later. She was aware of a plan B. It was just the wrong plan B.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. As far as getting to that point, well, we might not have seen the part of the tribal council where it was decided that they would all vote out Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
But between the secret scenes, the web confessionals, the interviews, and of course, the show itself to some extent, we could certainly figure out why Ashley lost. So we will start with rule number one, which, of course, says to scheme and plot. Now, if we were to listen to Alan in the first episode, Ashley was the biggest schemer out there because she supposedly formed a power couple early with JP, not to mention that she was also part of the core that oddly included Alan himself. And, then she ended up having to stand by Alan and also formed another duo with Devin at the Swap Tribe. Now, according to her interview with Mike Bloom, Devin pulled her in by showing her what he thought was an advantage, which turned out to be the disadvantage. And that was what really made her trust him. And then she was, of course, part of the Seven and then the Breakaway Alliance within that group. But the question I have about all of these is whether she was a driving force or a participant.
That's a good question.
Yes. So the way I saw it, whatever partnership she had with JP was probably mostly her.
Mm-hmm.
And she certainly helped initiate the duo with Devin. But as the game progressed, she seemed to let her fate be dictated by others a bit too much. And, we discussed a couple weeks ago how she never got back together with JP again and helped vote him out when she became part of the Breakaway Alliance, despite the fact that she said in an episode 9 web confessional that she thought she was still good enough with him to use him to turn on Chrissy and Ben when they hit 7. So I'm guessing she must have figured out that wasn't the case before that vote came up.
Wow, there was so much there.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay, because I'm trying to take little bits of notes here. I do agree that the idea or this concept of her path in this game being dictated by others is ultimately what probably caused a large part of her demise. And I do think it's interesting that she went, when she started this game, at least this is what she explained in her parade interview, was that she went, her plan was she went in with no strategy. She was just going to go with the flow, see who she can trust, which is interesting when you then see how her gameplay ended up transpiring. And that's what happened with JP. She decided that they had a lot of similarities and they liked each other and they got along and it was easy for them to talk to each other. So she and JP kind of latched on together. She did the same thing with Devin. You know, it was this relationship that she liked Devin. They got along. They were the same age, had a lot of things in common. We're both beach kids, I guess. And, you know, suddenly they had a relationship. So I do think that that lack of strategy that she went into the game with probably didn't help her, because formulating relationships is just one component of this game. You have to actually plan how you are going to use those relationships to your benefit. Whereas I feel like Ashley was really just forming relationships without necessarily determining how it was going to affect her end game.
I think you're mostly right, but I also think that there were other situations. For example, Chrissy.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Chrissy had approached Ashley about flipping, you know, when she took her on the family reward, and Ashley rejected it because, as she told Mike Bloom in that parade interview, she had a good alliance and Lauren had the extra vote. Now, the thing is, she had a good relationship with Chrissy. They just never talked game. They, you know, they were fine around each other. They were friendly. They just didn't plot or scheme or strategize
right
together.
But that's what I mean, is that she, it's like she can't make that transition. She has a relationship with someone. She has a friendship with someone, but she doesn't necessarily utilize that to her benefit in playing the game. I think that she and Devin ended up working out well together because they were very similar. And Devin was kind of driving the boat that Ashley thought, hey, this is a great way for me to go. And I think as far as Devin was concerned, she probably viewed Devin as less threatening. She said some things about Chrissy, about how smart she thinks Chrissy is. And in one of her interviews, she was talking about how if Chrissy gets to the end, she's winning, at least in her mind. That's how she viewed Chrissy. So as far as developing those friendships into a game relationship, that's where I think she struggled, because she seemed to be more focused on who she gets along with. And then, well, this seems to work, as opposed to really utilizing all of the relationships that she was making. And also, speaking of Chrissy, when she shot down Chrissy's offer, you know, at the family reward, like, hey, you should work with me. You're working with the you really like powerhouses. You should flip on them. And she turned Chrissy down in that time. She also did the same thing to Ben. Ben offered her like an olive leaf or an olive branch, if you will. And she turned him down too. So I feel like she kind of locked into this friendship mode as opposed to game mode.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the thing with Chrissy, I do think, although she kicks herself now for not being interested in the, you know, flipping to Chrissy at that time, it's hard for me to blame her, because, you know, she would have flipped to a minority from a majority, and, you know, she had Lauren, she had the extra vote and everything. Now, should she have at least told Chrissy, I'll keep an open mind, let's work together if, you know, if the time is right? Yes, she should have.
And that's the thing that she failed to do, both with Chrissy and Ben, is that she was very, especially with Ben, very clear and vocal that, no, I have no interest in working with you. And there's nothing that you can say that will change my mind. And that's what she said to Ben. And with Chrissy, she was very similar in how she treated that offer as well. And part of your rule one is you say yes. And
right,
she should have indicated at least some, like, oh, I'll consider this. This sounds good. What's your idea? How do you see this playing out? And get more information from them, as opposed to turning into a brick wall.
Yeah. Now, it turns out, I don't know if you saw this, but in her interview with Josh, she did say, first of all, that, yeah, she knows she was wrong to say no to Ben. But she admitted, first of all, she's not a great liar.
Yes.
So, you know, OK, well, that's a problem. But she also did try to mend fences with him. She tracked him down and tried to get that relationship back on track.
But that was before that conversation. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that was right after they had all flipped, and it was after the vote he went to get water. That's when she tried to like mend fences with him. But I think the conversation that they had was after that, where they were at the, where it was after the reward, and they were sitting there together, and Ryan was off with Chrissy and Devin at the reward. And I think that's when the conversation happened, if I'm remembering it correctly.
Well, that's when she turned down Ben. I got the impression that she then realized that was a mistake and went to talk to Ben.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that impression.
So if that is the case, which I think it is, then I think that also explains why Ben turned to her and said, let's vote out Dr. Mike, you know, during the tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whenever it happened, it wasn't shown on TV, probably because it didn't end up mattering, because even though Ben wanted to vote out Dr. Mike, probably after they had their whole conversation and Ben realized everyone else is voting out Ashley, he was like, well, I already stick out like a sore thumb around here. I might as well at least, you know, vote with everyone else.
Right.
Now, speaking of Dr. Mike, something else that wasn't shown on TV was apparently he was actively trying to split up Ashley and Devin by telling each of them that the other was planning to turn.
Yes, I did read that. That was fascinating.
So Devin may have already had that idea planted in his head that, huh, I need to turn on Ashley before she turns on me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think all those things, all those different people, and I also think especially Chrissy, you know, we saw that she was the one mostly pushing, going after Ashley. And I do think Chrissy's attitude has been throughout the game, if you're not with her, you're against her. And she gave Ashley a chance and Ashley said no. So, okay, you got to go then.
Yeah. No, I think that Ashley, I don't know, she could have, she had a lot of opportunities presented to her. And it's just interesting how she ended up responding to other people's perceptions of the game and other people's perceptions of her. She said a very interesting, there was one in one of her interviews, she said it doesn't matter how truthful someone is being, it's all about whether or not people are perceiving what that person is saying to be true. And that was regarding Alan. And I think like that was a missed opportunity for Ashley, because here you had someone who was completely losing his mind and was shining all of the light on she and JP. And I don't feel like she used that to her advantage. Instead, she kind of backed away from it and didn't want to be the center of attention. And both she and JP did the same thing. And I feel like that goes with your analogy or your explanation of how others were dictating her game. She was also letting other people's emotional outbursts kind of dictate her game instead of using those emotional outbursts to her benefit.
Yeah, although I think in the face of a crazy man making someone drop their pants,
you had to go there, didn't you?
Well,
you
know, I didn't. He did. You know, it's hard to know exactly how anyone would react in that situation.
Yeah, no, and that is true. But Alan just kind of seemed to be just ripe for someone kind of grabbing on to that crazy and saying, listen, do we want to continue to work with crazy, or do we want to have some type of calm around camp? And she didn't utilize that to her benefit. But then again, I don't know really what other options she would have had, because then she would have been, I don't know if she would have been, if it's first vote, does Katrina go or does Alan go? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know either. I do know, just like I said, it can be hard to deal with someone like that. I had an employee once who would do and say some things that, you know, you would just sit there and be like, what just happened? I don't know how to respond because I cannot believe this just happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, eventually I figured out how to deal with them. But at first, I mean, I was just stunned.
Yes, and Survivor is not a great atmosphere to test those waters sometimes, because obviously this is a whole new experience and everyone is kind of judging everyone. And I think she even referenced the whole Alan thing. They're 2 days into the game and you are so worried at that point, what people are going to be thinking about you and where you sit in your tribe. And so there's a lot of issues there. But I do think so early in the game, if someone is calling you out for something like that, there might be some other options or things that could have been done with that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, I think we've done a good job on the first rule there.
You just ripped it apart in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, sorry. You know.
That's great.
But then you had more. So as we go to the second rule, it discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and backstabbing too soon. So do you think Ashley had any issues in this rule?
It's a struggle. It's definitely a struggle because I don't think she was scheming and plotting too much because she wasn't doing it on her own. She was, as you said, she was using other people's ideas and plans and kind of following their lead. And so I don't think that she was doing anything overboard. She wasn't scheming, plotting too much. And she was, even when she was accused of doing that with JP, like I've already said, I don't think she handled that very well. So I don't think that she struggled with scheming and plotting too much.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I would say the only problem she had with this rule was that she might have been seen as being too close to Devin. And, you know, certainly that was the story that Ben intended to tell. And as I mentioned, Dr. Mike was trying to bust them up, as we discussed already. Now, I don't know whether it was intentional or not. Actually, we do know it pretty much was intentional. You know, Devin took care of that by not taking her on the reward. And then, of course, voting her out, which, you know, solved the problem for Devin, but mm-hmm. Ashley paid the price.
Yes. So he backstabbed when he needed to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see this, you know, this coming week here.
That's true. Good point.
So the third rule tells players they need to be flexible. And as you mentioned earlier, Ashley thought that she was part of a plan B in case Ben had an idol. And, it, that's good to be flexible, that you think that there's a plan B. Of course, her plan B that she thought was to vote out Dr. Mike, but that was the wrong plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, her quote, if you don't know the plan B, then you are the plan B. Well, she thought she did know the plan B and she was still the plan B.
Right.
So, yeah, but in case there was any doubt of any of that after we missed, you know, the important part of that tribal council, Chrissy said in a web confessional that they all knew going in it would be Ben or Ashley. And I'm guessing by all, that's not Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically they went in prepared and she thought she was prepared, but she really wasn't. And so she became, like we said, the plan B. Now that was just in the final episode for her. How do you think she was doing in terms of this rule throughout the rest of the season?
Well, before I get into that, I do want to just mention one thing that I thought was interesting about that whole dynamic. And you mentioned Chrissy, that Chrissy had talked to Devin, and this is just, I guess, as far as being flexible is concerned, that, yeah, Chrissy wanted to keep Ashley around until Devin was the one that said, hey, how about a final three with Ryan and Chrissy and myself, and we can have that final three. And then suddenly Chrissy changed her idea of who's going to go next. And that's kind of where Ashley's name, I think, developed, was really because of Devin, which I think is incredibly interesting because obviously Devin and Ashley were so close together. But I think overall, she wasn't great at being flexible. If you kind of look at her path that she took through the game, she obviously started on she was very close with JP. And what the hell happened to that? You know, she got called out on the closeness that she had with JP, and then she just kind of cut ties with him and never returned. And she had been close with Ben at the beginning, and they did formulate a closeness again when they got to the 7 and then the 4. So that was good. But she really did lock herself into that final alliance that she ended up in with Devin and Lauren. And she said in multiple interviews, it was almost like she had blinders on. She was so locked into her alliance that she didn't necessarily see any other path but her getting to the final three. that she would be the last female standing. And she kind of worked it out who was going to be going next. And it was really because she was banking so much on her alliance staying together, but not necessarily looking at all of the other things that can happen, like multiple idols and other people winning immunity and Devin deciding he's going to be flexible. So I don't think that she was great at her flexibility in the game because she did kind of lock herself in too tight to certain individuals, and it was to her detriment.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I mean, that's what I was thinking as well. You know, she locked in with Devin, she locked in against Chrissy, she locked in against Ben. And so, you know, like I said earlier, she was not the driving force in alliances, but she was a participant. And to be truly flexible in this game, you need to take the wheel, not sit in the back seat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, all right. So, moving on to the fourth rule, it tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, I know we saw Ashley get mad that she wasn't picked for the reward, but I don't feel like that had any real impact on her game. And I can't think of any other cases where she let negative feelings get in the way. Can you?
I can.
Okay.
Just a couple of things. I think this would be an emotion thing because I kind of equate poker face with an emotional thing because I don't have a poker face, as everybody knows. But so during the tribal council where it was between Joe and Alan and whether or not Joe should play his idol, did they vote for me? Did they vote for Desi? And what did Joe say? That he read Ashley's face. So I think that might have been an emotional moment for her because she was reacting to what she was seeing as opposed to wearing a poker face. But this also could potentially, and again, I don't know if this is a stretch of your don't let your emotions control you, because this is stuff that is almost more like personality stuff. But pregame, there was a resting bitch face comment made about her. And then also Chrissy made a comment, I don't think she likes me. So, you know, I don't know if that's more of a rule 5 as opposed to a rule 4, but I thought it was interesting that there was some pregame determinations made about Ashley, and then obviously the Joe playing the idol, I think was a component as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that as being emotional so much as just being, you know, going back to her bad liar, but you're right. I mean, she did let her emotions guide basically her facial expressions there.
Yes, which, and Joe said that's how he knew to play the idol. So if, who knows if maybe she hadn't have done that, Joe would have gone home very early as opposed to playing his idol.
And everyone would have been much sadder.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. We would have missed out on a wonderful Twitter world that we all live in.
Now, the only other thing I'd say for this rule is that she did obviously allow her emotions to guide her somewhat in her alliances. You know, she talked about wanting to go to Final 3 with Devin, mostly because of the type of person he was. And you mentioned that earlier. She made friendships more than she made alliances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she later realized that, well, he might beat her there, but she didn't seem inclined to change that trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, obviously, Devin was certainly willing to cut her, though I maintain that he shouldn't have because she would indeed have been more beatable at the end. But, you know, that's more on Devin than it is on her.
I know. Damn it, Devin. I mean, I like you, Ashley. I really do like Ashley. But obviously we're trying to piece all of this together.
Right. So, okay, this leads us to the fifth rule, which says to pretend to be nice and play the social game. So since you had already mentioned some of that, how do you think she did here?
Well, that's where Ashley is almost, she's an interesting mix because we've already said that she formed friendships with people that she did allow to guide how her game was going to be played. Those people that she had connections with and that she felt like she had a lot of things in common. And then you also have the other side of Ashley where she did cut people off and really not even talk any game or strategy. Cole said in his interview with Wiggler when asked about Ashley, I don't think I even had one conversation with her out there. And you also had people like Chrissy who were trying to play the game with her and she wouldn't. been. She clearly put up a wall. So I think in this regard, she wasn't great at pretending to be nice when she needed to pretend. Like that moment with Ben, when you watch it and it's kind of like the setup, you think, oh, this is going to be good. And then you're like, oh, Ashley, what'd you just do? You know, where she had a moment. It was just she and Ben talking. And she was so very clear about what her stance was as it related to Ben, and let Ben know that too. So that's where you really, you have to pretend to be nice at that point. You really do.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's interesting because in her Ponderosa video, which, you know, was hysterical, by the way.
It was so funny. That was so funny.
You know, Joe said most people didn't get Ashley.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I fully understand what he meant, because as far as I could tell, she mostly did get along with people, even Chrissy, even though they weren't working together. I'd say she got along with people other than, well, mostly Joe at times. And I just don't know what it means to not get someone.
Well, but I think that a lot of what ends up happening too, when you, and I could be wrong, but when you're out there and you're trying to kind of determine how you fit in and where you fit in, perhaps one of Ashley's biggest downfalls in the game was because of Alan. Because rather than her having an opportunity to be in control of the how she was going to be perceived very early on, Alan kind of set the stage for her with her tribe and how she was going to be perceived. And I think he did the same thing with JP. And what happened with JP? He suddenly like dwindled and we didn't see anything more from JP. And perhaps that happened with Ashley, where she didn't want to be perceived as someone who was driving the boat because of what happened. And maybe that took some of the wind out of her sails as her game progressed, just because of what happened with Alan.
That's certainly possible. One other thing that I'm thinking is I believe that in general, she's a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And as a nice person, sometimes I would think that that would make it more difficult to pretend to be nice.
Yes, no, that's true, too. If you just, and I've said that about, I think it was Desi, too. She just seemed like a nice person. So, right. Yeah, if you're just a nice person, you don't have to pretend. You just are who you are.
Right. But unfortunately, then it can come to situations where normally you would pretend and, well, that's, you know, not working. So.
Right.
Okay, so we move on to the sixth rule, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Now, on the People Fan Forum, you said she pretty much brought no threat. Is that still how you feel?
Well, this is where I really thought about it. I think that when I say she brought no threat, I think it was a different type of threat. And this is where I had my epiphany about Ashley and how the whole thing happened with Ben and Chrissy. Physically, obviously, she is a badass. I mean, this girl can win challenges and she's strong and she can hold her own and she can swim like there's no tomorrow. So in the physical sense, she's a huge threat. But Survivor, as we all know, doesn't necessarily come down to your physical prowess anymore. It really comes down to your ability to strategize and play the social game. And this is where I think Ashley ended up becoming a threat. Not because of her strategy and social prowess, but her willingness to kind of share information with her core group of people that then was brought back to other individuals. For example, I think she was one of the first ones to mention Chrissy's name. And she was also one of the first ones to mention Ben's name. And all of that information got back to Chrissy and all of that information got back to Ben. So I feel like as far as Ben and Chrissy were concerned, Ashley wasn't a threat to them because she was physically strong or strategically strong. She became a threat to them because she was saying their name. So she said Ben should go home and she said Chrissy should go home. And Chrissy even said in one of her confessionals, she mentioned my name, so now I'm gunning for her. And we see this happen in Survivor all the time. As soon as one person mentions your name, suddenly that person becomes your target. And I think that's probably why Ashley became a threat, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, to both Ben and Chrissy and their desire to then vote her out of the game. Because when you're down to such small numbers and you know that she comes with Devin, That's two. And if she can say to Devin, Christy's got to go, you don't really need to convince that many more people to vote Christy or Ben. You know, I mean, I know everyone's kind of gunning for Ben, but I feel like if you look at Dr. Mike, has Dr. Mike ever said I should vote out Christy? That Christy is aware of. I can't recall. I mean, he's clearly told Ben you should go, but everybody's told Ben he should go. You know, so it's one of those. So I could see why Christy started driving this train of Ashley's got to go, because Ashley's saying Christy needs to go and someone's got to take someone out first. So I think that might be why she could be seen as a threat to especially Christy, but also Ben, because she was the one kind of sprinkling their names around to various people.
Well, it's interesting. You ended up in a very similar place to where I was, because originally, like you, you know, I, upon initial viewing and, you know, leading up to this point, I had pretty much said, nope, no threat here, you know, and, you know, Joe had said everyone wanted Ashley in the final three because she was the goat he accused her of being and was completely complacent. And, you know, leading up to this point, I've said similar things on Twitter here. And I was very surprised to see Devin abandon Ashley, primarily because I thought he would want to bring her along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even Ashley herself, when she was talking to Josh, noted that her confessionals recently had been about how she knew she needed to make a big move. So she didn't even really consider herself to be a threat. But like you said, there are these other aspects. Now, the one that I honed in on was the other side of the story in terms of immunity. So RHAP blogger and former Reality News Online blogger Sarah Channon pointed out on Twitter that Ashley was the only player left besides Christy who has won individual immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while Ashley told Josh that she didn't see herself as a threat, she added that the exception might be on the physical side. So, you know, to kind of put these into numbers, Jeff Pittman at True Dork Times, he noted that targeting Ashley removed Chrissy's only real competition for immunity challenges. Now, he does this calculation to show the mean percentage finish in such challenges, which I think is, you know, something Chrissy would definitely approve of.
Yes.
And you know, he had Christy at 74.2% with Ashley at 68.3%. Well, with Ashley gone, the next highest now is Dr. Mike, way down at 45.2%.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so that's a huge, huge gap.
Right.
And on top of that, Ashley was a threat for Chrissy's final three of Devin, Ryan, and herself, like you mentioned.
Yes, but obviously, she doesn't really want to go to the final three with them.
Well, I know, but, well, I don't know if she does now. That's all up in the air to me. So, and then, like you said, sprinkling in Chrissy's name, what it all turns out is she was a threat to Christy.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy was the main one pushing Ashley as the target. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to be a threat to everyone. If there's one person who's pushing for you and no one else has anything good to say in your defense, which Devin would have been the only one who would have defended her, and he didn't.
Right.
So she was a threat to Christy.
Yes. Which is it's quite fascinating, because honestly, and this is where I'm going to get on my little soapbox about CBS. I love you, CBS, but the ending everything with a puzzle has to stop. It has to stop.
I don't know. I liked it.
I do appreciate puzzles, but it's interesting to see people who are like physically dominating the challenge. And I thought it was kind of funny. Christy, in one of her confessionals, was talking about how slow and steady wins the race.
Right.
And it was almost like, I feel like it was a little bit of, after it happened, she was explaining, oh, no, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to go slow and not be out of breath and take my time. And then she ended up winning the cog puzzle, which is incredible, by the way. But it's one of those situations where here's someone who was, she said it was almost laughable how far behind she was at the start of the challenge, you know, the physical component of it. And then she ends up winning on the puzzle. And we see that so often in Survivor. It really does boil down to the puzzles. It really does.
Well, I mean, I think it boils down somewhat to the puzzles, but there's also other challenges. I mean, there's endurance challenges and other challenges that have no puzzle aspect.
But the immunity challenges, most times when you get to this point in the game, I feel like they all end in some weird, puzzle. You have to build a structure that's a puzzle. You have to make a cog wheel that's a puzzle. It's like you have to build a bat and it's a puzzle. There's a lot of puzzly things.
Puzzly things or puzzling things?
Puzzly things. You heard it here first. Puzzly things.
Puzzly things.
Yes. Devin, was it Devin who said, I don't even know any 13 letter words and I have to figure out what this word is. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that shows a good ability to strategize, too, because she saw what was going to happen and said, OK, I mean, if we take your view that she was just, explaining it after it happened, then fine. But maybe she did. I think she's smart enough that she could look at this and go, OK, I'm going to need all my brain power when I get to that point. So I don't want to use up all the oxygen in my brain running through a pile of sawdust.
That is very possible. It's absolutely very possible. But I do. Yeah. It's this weird. And I struggle with it because don't get me wrong. I think the challenges are incredible. And I do really enjoy the puzzles that they put together. And it's interesting because almost everybody who's on Survivor can do the physical components of the challenges that are created. Some people will be a little bit faster. Some people might be, better at it. They might be stronger, but they get through it. For the most part, you get through the physical spot. But there are people who just cannot do a puzzle. They're not that smart. And that's where I feel like sometimes it's not, I don't want to say it's unfair because it's not unfair, but it's just an interesting dynamic or an interesting spin on Survivor that you can't just be a physical specimen. You have to be smart too, So right. It's like this, it's a very strange thing to see because someone like Chrissy, who is incredibly brilliant, for her a puzzle's no problem. Mike, same thing. But someone like Devin, who's like, I don't even know any 13 letter words, but he's like a physical specimen. So it's this weird dynamic, and so you really have to look at who could win immunity. Do I think Ashley is going to beat Chrissy in a physical challenge? Yes. Do I think Chrissy is going to beat Ashley in a mental challenge? Absolutely. So I don't know. I really don't know how you would resolve that unless you do a little bit of both instead of all of one.
Well, I mean, I think they do a little bit of both. I mean, Ashley had won the prior one where she had to hold on to the discs with her arms held out. And everything.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was a good one. I liked that one. That was good.
And obviously there are not as many people who are going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
So I think they've been mixing it up pretty well. That's my opinion.
No, and I agree. I do think that it's one of those situations where it's almost like heart wrenching when you see these kind of things happening where someone is like dominating and then I can't do a puzzle. it's kind of sad.
Well, then they should have practiced puzzles.
Right? Yes. All right. Anyway, I'll get out of my soapbox.
All right. So I think that wraps up rule number 6 for us there. So we can move on to rule 7, which, of course, talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. And, building up to the season, there was already a reason that this moved from an appendix to a rule. And, it seems like this was exactly the right time to do it, given how many idols have been played or at least in play this season.
Lord, there's been a lot.
Yeah. And personally, I think this one put it over the top for me as being one too many. However, when I said that on Twitter, I've heard from a lot of other people that they disagree because finding idols is a skill that has become part of this game, much like doing puzzles. And if a player is good at it, they should be rewarded. Personally, I'm going to have to think about this one a little bit because, yes, I agree. There are some people, Tony, Ty, Ben, who have a skill at finding idols. and using the idols. But do we really want that to be what this game is about?
I think it's interesting how it's developed over the course of time, because you look at when they first introduced idols, it was, I think, almost impossible to find one just because of the manner in which they were hidden. And there was always a clue first, and then there would be the idol somewhere. They put them in very horrible spots, like on an island somewhere, you know, where you had to go find it. But I think it's kind of funny now that they're even marking them as secret advantage, and they're like painting on trees with an arrow, like, look here. You know, it's like I feel like, I mean, and I have to say, when I was out looking for idols, I was actually wondering, I'm like, would they ever actually mark something to make you look there? I mean, I was thinking that they, because there seemed to be like little like bits of pink plastic in like trees, and I don't know why they were there. So I was kind of like paying attention, like maybe it's a marking for something. And then sure enough, they were painting on logs and coconuts and such. You know, this is where an idol is. So I just, and the secret advantage actually is written secret advantage. It's, like, it's not very secret. So I think it's funny that it's developed into that we're now going to paint on trees and things like that.
Yeah, things like that. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'll have to think about it some more, but you know, it's good when it keeps it, or it seems to be good when it keeps in big characters who would otherwise be voted out. I mean, we wouldn't have Ben here anymore.
Right. That's true
for these, but on the other hand, then maybe Ben should have been playing a different game.
Well, you know, and this is where I'm torn, because I look at someone like David Wright from my season, who was great at finding idols and was
and
playing
the right person to use it on. Right.
Aw, yes. Thank you so much, David. but also great at playing the game. And it's almost, I think, good for those types of players who would probably not be in the game. The fact that David stayed as long as he did still shocks me. But someone like Ben, who I think a lot of people look at and say he'd be a great winner this season, but he might end up winning because he's playing such a great game. So it's almost like this balancing where, okay, because they play such a great game, we're going to give him a chance to stick around. But they either have to find an idol or they have to win this immunity. You know, it's like this weird, it's this weird way to try to keep those players in the game. So that's interesting.
Right. I think it goes back to the same discussion we were just having about the puzzle at the end of an immunity challenge. I mean, you can't just be a physical specimen and power through all these challenges. And similarly, if you're going to play a very strong game of Survivor, a strategic game, a driving game, then you almost have to be good at finding idols, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is true.
So
point taken. Now,
yes. So. Now, of course, one of the biggest topics of conversation after this episode was why everybody wasn't following Ben every waking moment.
Oh, my word. Right.
Yeah. And I think Joe said it most amusingly on Twitter. He said, think it's safe to say never allow Chrissy, Devin, Ryan, Mike or Ashley to babysit anything. Not an adult, pet, child, and definitely not Ben.
I love that they were discussing bagels too. Yeah. That was so perfect. They were just talking about bagels as Ben's like, I'm playing this game. Let me go find an idol.
Yeah.
So much
so fun. So now you know, Dr. Mike did fire back at Joe in his own defense, saying he couldn't leave any of the other people alone. And, you know, to some extent he was right. And now, he also likely knew that he wasn't the plan B, though with Ben and Ashley wanting him to be the B, maybe he should have been a little bit more nervous. But, you know, for her part, Ashley said in interviews that they should indeed have been on Ben patrol. And she did actually follow him at times, but they couldn't be with him 100% of the time. Sometimes he had to go to the bathroom or give a confessional. Still, I feel like those times were pretty limited. And they let him out of their sight a lot more than was necessary.
Yeah. And Dr. Mike even said in one of his confessionals that he had looked all over the island. He looked down paths. He looked in trees. He had looked everywhere and he didn't find it. So Ben wasn't going to find it either.
Right. Yeah, that was on the show. And at the time, at the time, I put on Twitter, I was like, yeah, but they put new idols in play.
Oh, it was quite funny. I mean, so, kudos to you, Dr. Mike, for looking. I think that's great. But yeah, Ben clearly looked more.
Right. Or again. Yes.
Right.
Oh, all right. Funny. So time to move into the appendices. And we begin with Appendix A, where the key is to make your votes count and keep your end goal in mind. Now, because of the strength of this final six, players should have still been trying to vote out the strong. And, you know, as we discussed, that does somewhat describe Ashley in terms of her immunity challenge abilities. But, well, that's about it. And you know, I don't think she was a strong contender to win at the end compared to some of the others. Mm. Now, obviously, they couldn't do anything about Ben. But what about Devin? What about Chrissy? What about Ryan? All of them could be threats at the end. And I feel like the majority of the tribe lost sight of the end goal here.
Oh, I totally agree. And here's the thing why I think Devin really screwed up by getting rid of Ashley. Because he should realize, and I'm basing this on what we see and what I've read and what we've been able to put together thus far. He was very proud of the game he was playing. Ashley and he were essentially playing the same game, except he was playing it a little bit better because he was leading the charge on a lot of moves. He did the secret spy Ben idea. That was his. So he can take credit for a lot of things that the two of them were doing together. Now, Ashley said in one of her interviews that she thought she would be able to out-explain or oversell her game versus Devin. But in Ashley's mind, she was 100% solid going to the final three with Devin. Devin should have looked at that and said, if Ashley is 100%, now I realize there's this whole thing with Mike, where Mike is potentially trying to draw a wedge in between them. But in Devin's world, he should have looked at that and said, if Ashley is 100% with me and Dr. Mike, it has been said, no one could really trust him. He would kind of be there and do what we needed him to do. But he was also sharing a lot of information with everybody. If you know that she is 100% solid with you, you should be doing everything you can to keep her if you do believe that you are going to beat her in the final three. Because you have to look at who your other options are left around you. And if you are certain that you're beating her, you need to keep her because you know she's going to keep you. And if she's going to potentially win a final immunity challenge, she's not getting rid of you. So if it comes down to here's four people left, she wins immunity, and she kind of gets to control the vote as to who goes home, if Devin's standing there, she's probably going to keep Devin. So he's got a better shot of potentially making it to the end if Ashley is sitting there with him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree totally with everything you said there. So I still don't exactly understand it unless he just believed Dr. Mike.
Right.
Or he just has other plans that he think are better. And I do know that he wants to go to the end with Ryan, and we'll talk about that in the predictions, but I still don't understand it. I don't either.
And the other thing too is why any of them they should have all voted out Devin. I mean, I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know what they were all thinking at that moment where, okay, let's look around. Who's going to win? Ben? Devin? I mean, like, can we, you know, I mean, so yeah, take that opportunity to take out Devin, who is physically, you know, he's a strong guy. So he could end up winning immunity. He hasn't yet, but he could. But the other thing too, you would have in your argument in front of a jury is if you do end up sitting there with Ashley and you've gotten rid of Devin, your argument to the jury could be everything Ashley did, she did because of Devin. You know, that it was Devin and Ashley working together and she was following Devin's lead. That's a great argument for someone. That's a good spin for someone to put on it in the final three if they're sitting next to Ashley. You look at the guy who did get sent home and use that to your benefit as to why Ashley doesn't win over you.
Yeah, right. I mean, the only reason I can think that they didn't all vote out Devin is because they all have deals with Devin to move further along.
Yeah, but he's gonna beat them.
I don't know.
Fascinating.
So, well, that kind of brings us nicely to Appendix B, which talks about what to do in the jury phase. And, you know, there are two key parts. One, get people into the jury who will vote for you at the end. And two, do almost everything you can to bring along people you can beat at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say almost everyone failed in both parts here.
Yeah.
You know, for the same reasons. I think Devin is the only one who might benefit from getting Ashley's vote at the end. And even he can't be sure of that because of the way he stabbed her in the back.
Right.
We only know that she's forgiven him because of her Ponderosa video and interviews. He doesn't know that. The last thing he saw was her, you know, basically stiff arming him.
Right.
As he moved in for a hug.
Which was awesome. That was yes, so it was. Funny.
Like, get out of here. Yeah.
It's a great now, moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that Ben might benefit as well because she had said previously that she would probably vote for him at the end. But, you know, as far as sending her to the jury instead of bringing her to final three, I think just everybody should have been wanting her in their final three, not in the jury, as, you know, we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing is mind-boggling to me.
So, I mean, overall, I'd say some of the players just made their road to the $1 million a little bit more difficult.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely, completely agree with that.
So, all right. So before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about Ashley?
I do have some. I think that it was very telling in episode 11 when Ashley said, honestly, I feel like this is my game to lose. When you hear a survivor say that, you can kind of go dun, 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 because that's always a bad omen. And that was, I think, kind of leaning up to where we now find ourselves, because that was episode 10 and 11 was when that group of four really kind of took over. And she got very, very confident and overly confident in the relationships she had formed with the people in her alliance, namely Devin, who we now have seen what happened with that relationship. So I think what's interesting with Ashley is she traded one power couple for another power couple. She started out with JP and that kind of blew up in her face. And she traded that relationship that blew up in her face for another relationship that ended up blowing up in her face because Devin sent her home. But I think the interesting part of that is she never went back to JP. And I think if Ashley had gone back to JP and rekindle that relationship, that would have been where she should have been sitting, because then in the JP Ashley relationship, she's the Devin, if that makes sense. Whereas in the Devin Ashley relationship, she's the JP. So I feel like as far as her read on the people playing the game with her, she would have been much better to try to formulate a strong relationship with JP again and rekindle that. She had described JP early on in the game as being her puppy dog. And Devin, we saw kind of calling the shots. So who do you want to be playing the game with? Someone that you know that you're going to beat in the end, or someone that you think you're going to beat in the end? And I think between Devin and JP, she would have been much better sticking with JP. She did describe to Wiggler that Ryan was Christy's shadow. Well, she was kind of Devin's. And I think, unfortunately, she got lost in Devin's shadow. I think Ashley is a great person. I think she seems really, really sweet and nice. And she's obviously, like I said, a badass and can kick butt in challenges. But that's really where she kind of messed up in this game by becoming Devin's shadow.
All right. So she should have grabbed JP back, and that would have been the key to winning.
Well, it would have been better for her.
I know. All right. Well, I'll start with the fact that Ashley seems to be a very nice person who was able to play the game at a high physical level. But by her own admission, she was not a very good liar. I mean, you know, we talked about already that we saw that as far back as the episode when Joe idled Alan out of the game because he could read it on Ashley's face. She was part of a number of alliances and sub-alliances, but rarely was she the leader in any significant way. Joe kept calling her complacent, and I think we can see why. When she got into an alliance, she locked into it and was not as flexible as she should have been. Again, by her own admission and confessionals, she knew she needed to make moves, but she really didn't. All of this sounds like it should have been a perfect recipe to get brought along to the final three. But Ashley found herself in a position that had been held by, well, several before her. She presented a threat to Chrissy. She was an immunity challenge threat. She told Chrissy she didn't want to work with her. She was an ally of Devin, whom Chrissy apparently wanted to use as her own ally, etc. I mean, Chrissy was pushing to oust Ashley even before they knew that Ben had another idol. So she was certainly the plan B when Ben's idol removed plan A. Chrissy managed to get the others to follow along with her, though I'm sure each of them probably believed it was in their own best interest as well. Chrissy portrayed Ashley as more of a threat than Ashley truly posed. And that is why Ashley lost.
Excellent.
All right. So we are done with Ashley. But before we get to our finale predictions, I do just want to remind people that if you still haven't bought your holiday gifts yet, well, you'd better hurry. But there's still time. You can go through RHAP to help support all the podcasts. Head over to robhasawebsite.com/gifts. for links, holiday sponsor offers, and more. I personally just sent a bunch of presents to my niece, my nephew, sons of some friends of mine, everybody basically using the links there. And there's still time for last minute shopping. Get those presents delivered. So head over to robhasawebsite.com/gifts. Now, we have a lot of predictions to make this week.
I don't like it.
Well, you got to do it, you know. And, you know, I do want to say what we're about to talk about is presuming that the final twist mentioned in the ads doesn't make things impossible to predict, you know, doesn't completely turn everything upside down.
Because that's worked so far.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm also doing my best to not allow outside influences like promotional statements by Jeff Probst to influence me. If those turn out to be factors, then we can talk about them after the finale. So I'm going to go through mine, and then Jessica, you can go through yours.
All right, good. I'm going to take notes when you talk.
Oh, okay. On yellow legal pads?
Yes, I have lots of those.
Yes, anybody who saw the picture you posted on Twitter knows that.
It's a little insane. I have so many notes, but everyone out there in the Twitter world, guess what I still have all of my notes of? Everything.
Everything.
Someone else might not have all of his notes.
Well, just, I mean, all the important notes.
I'm just saying. That delete button can be painful. Yeah,
well, we'll figure that out. But speaking of notes, as I was putting together my notes for this podcast, and especially my conclusion, one name kept coming up, Chrissy.
Mm.
For a good chunk of the season, I've been saying Chrissy will be a losing finalist. But now I'm wondering if this could be another Sarah situation where those voted out were annoyed with the way that Chrissy behaved, but in the end, they give her credit where credit is due. After all, Chrissy has been on the top, on the bottom, back on top again. You know, she has a lot of story to tell. And she was doing a lot of the pushing or driving along the way. But before I go down that path, let me walk through the rest of the final five. First, all of them know that working with Ben could get them to the final three. They also know there's no way they'd win. And that's one thing that Ashley echoed in her interviews. And it reminds me of the Second Chances season when people work with Jeremy, despite it being pretty clear that nobody could beat him. The difference, of course, is this season people wised up and nobody wants to work with Ben. So I don't think Ben will make it to final three. If he does, he wins. Period. End of story. But my bet is he's voted out next. And then, you know, even if he does get immunity in the first tribal council, he'll be voted out the next tribal council. I just don't think he can get past both of them, you know, by getting immunity that way. So, presuming that's true for the moment, that leaves Devin, Ryan, Chrissy, and Mike. I think Chrissy is in everyone's final three plan. So that gets her to the finals and back to the dilemma I was talking about earlier. I think Dr. Mike is in almost everyone's final three plan. In a web confessional from this episode, Dr. Mike himself said he's not sure he can win against anyone. And if he feels that way, we can be pretty sure that everyone else does as well. And, you know, Chrissy said in her own web confessional something very similar. So Dr. Mike said he has to at least get to the final three. And then he's got to make his case that he was controlling the game since final six. I think that's an uphill battle. You know, we've seen convincing jury arguments before. This will be a really difficult one. So the only one who might not be planning to take Dr. Mike is Devin. And it depends on whether Devin was being honest about wanting to go to the end with Ryan and Chrissy. I don't know. I don't know either way. I noted that Devin said in a web confessional that he would have rather taken Dr. Mike instead of Chrissy to the reward, but of course he had no choice but to take her. So that does suggest he wants Dr. Mike in the final three. The question is how he gets Chrissy out but keeps Ryan on his side. I don't think he can do it. I don't know how he maneuvers those numbers. In that same web confessional, Devin also said that he wanted Ryan on the reward. And, okay, we saw that. Even when they broke with each other, they didn't target each other. This brings me back to something I had said when they booted JP, and also something I said at the top of the podcast here, which was that I wondered if perhaps there was always a plan for Devin to be able to go back to Ryan at some point. And that, again, could help explain why JP was the target. I said it at the time, maybe Devin still wants to keep Ryan around. And now we're just seeing that finally come to fruition. So he thinks that it would be cool to have a duo who started so strong, broke apart, and then came back together to run the end game. On the flip side, in a web confessional from this episode, Ryan said he doesn't want to go to Final Three with Devin, though Devin wants to go with Ryan. But then again, Ryan keeps saying he wants to work with Devin and Chrissy, so I guess if we put the pieces together, he means work with Devin for a little while, but not all the way to the end. But the fact is, there's only a little while left, so I'm not sure how that all works. If they succeed in getting Ben out in the first tribal council of the night, then I think Chrissy, Ryan, and Dr. Mike take out Devin next and head to the final three. Immunity could, of course, mess that up, but so far, Devin hasn't exactly been a wizard there. Then again, neither have Ryan or Dr. Mike. But, you know, even if Ben doesn't go first, it would make sense for them to target Devin and then Ben. Of course, it would have also made sense for them to target Devin in this tribal council. So again, who knows? But I guess this means by process of elimination that I think the final three will be Chrissy, Ryan, and Dr. Mike.
And this is hysterical.
Okay. Are we going down the same path here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see,
so keep going.
I'm doing all the talking for you.
I know. I love it.
So the question becomes one of who can spin the best story that goes along with what the jury has seen. If Dr. Mike truly can count on those healer votes, then he has an incredible head start.
Yes.
But I think it all goes back to Chrissy. I was initially thinking that Chrissy and Ryan might split the votes, but I've now abandoned that thought because you mentioned what Ashley said. And based on Ashley's interview with Josh, I believe that most people see Ryan as being in Chrissy's shadow. I'm thinking Ryan is a zero vote finalist.
Ooh.
So let's say that that's true. Let's say that Dr. Mike gets the healer votes of Desi, Joe, and Cole. Let's go through the rest. I think Chrissy gets Ashley's vote out of both respect and because they got along well. They were friendly. I think Chrissy gets Ben's vote out of respect. I think Chrissy gets JP's vote because he was her lump of clay. I think Chrissy gets Devin's vote out of respect. And I think Chrissy gets Lauren's vote out of respect, or at least more respect than Dr. Mike. That means Chrissy wins 5-3. Now, I find myself surprised by this result. But when you think about it, the people who most complained post-game about Chrissy were either not in the jury or they're already healers who I had slated to vote Dr. Mike anyway. Those were the people who were complaining the most.
Mm-hmm.
Even if one of the people that I say will vote for Chrissy goes a different way and we end up with a tie vote that so many people have been predicting, well, then that means that Ryan cast the deciding vote. And we already know who he's giving it to. He's not giving it to Dr. Mike. So no matter under what situation we get there, if that is the final three, Chrissy wins. And I'm as surprised as anyone to be giving that prediction. So with that all said, apparently I've already, given a lot of your prediction too, but you have the floor.
All right. So this is where we diverge. I do agree that Ben is going to be next and Devin will follow. I think that Devin is going to forever kick himself for getting rid of Ashley, as I've already indicated previously. I did go through all of the computations, and the first computation I came up with is the same exact one that you came up with. Chrissy, Ryan, and Mike in the final three. I have Mike in everyone's final three. Everywhere that I fit him in, he's there. He's in every final three. But it's interesting when you go through who could potentially be sitting with him, how it changes things. I do think that anyone sitting next to Ben loses, except maybe Devin. I think Devin could have a potential shot against Ben, just depending upon how people feel in the end. Obviously, we're guessing how people are going to feel about things, but Devin's very likable. I know that Ben kind of rubbed people the wrong way, but Ben still played a phenomenal game. So I do think that Ben carries it if he's in the final three. But as far as a Chrissy, Ryan, and Mike, this is where I struggle. Because if you look at how people have described Chrissy in their exit interviews, Joe described her as condescending. JP did say she was super smart. Cole described her as overconfident. Desi described her as annoying. Lauren described Chrissy as working my nerves, constantly trying to analyze. I think Chrissy's biggest hurdle in a final three with Chrissy, Ryan, and Mike is her inability to communicate with people in a non-condescending fashion. I think that Ryan is going to be able to point very strongly to the super idol play and try to take himself out of Chrissy's shadow, that basically he could sell it, and not that it necessarily came true, but that he kind of saved her in the first tribal and kind of spin it in that fashion, that Chrissy was able to maneuver her way through this game because of the relationship she forged with me, which I actually forged with her by giving her that super idol. So Chrissy's development through this game relied very heavily on the relationship that she had with Ryan. Ryan was the one who never really upset anybody. He didn't anger people that are on the jury, and he has the ability to talk. I know Ashley described Ryan as a genius, which you did point out on Twitter, and also talked about how Ryan is so good at speaking and just kind of nailing everything that he needs to explain. So I think in a final three situation, Chrissy is probably going to be very defensive of things that people have perceived about her. And we have to remind ourselves that all of these juror people, they're in the moment still, and they might be harboring some ill will towards various people that sit in that final three. And I feel like Chrissy might be one of those people that individuals might be harboring some ill will towards. And I think all of it has to do with the manner in which she addresses people and how she speaks to people and what is a final three jury tribal all about, or the final three tribal council, I guess. It's about how you speak to people. It's about selling yourself and selling your game. And that is where I think Ryan beats Chrissy. I don't think that Ryan is going to do a better job than Chrissy at winning people over. However, I don't think that Chrissy doesn't walk away with no votes. I think she's got JP. I think JP is going to vote for her. So she gets JP's vote. But I think Ryan has a strong likelihood of getting votes as well, based on the fact that he didn't necessarily upset people. And I think Ben probably won't appreciate some of the reactions that Chrissy has provided, especially in tribal council, when she kind of tried to diminish people's moments in tribal council. And I, you know, that she, Ben, when he blew up his bomb, basically, when he played the idol, and how she didn't appreciate that. So I think there might be some bad blood there. And I think Devin would vote for Ryan because they've got a tight bond. I do think that he's going to end up voting for Ryan. I think I might have already said this, but Ashley described Ryan as a genius. So she's probably voting for Ryan. But then we get to Mike, and we still have that healer strong bond between Desi and Cole and Joe. So there's three votes for Mike. And then it's really Lauren. And I was struggling. Like, where do I put Lauren? And Lauren really likes Dr. Mike. Lauren had a relationship with Ryan. That's the one that I kind of go back and forth. Like, where is Lauren going to go? And I almost feel like Lauren is going to be the deciding factor between a Mike and Ryan of who wins in my final three world. And I put her with Dr. Mike. That's where I ended up putting her. I think Dr. Mike could win. I really do, which is crazy. But, and this is another reason why. Dr. Mike has said in two separate episodes, I believe it was in episode 11, and I can't recall what other episode. I could flip my papers and tell you, because I have it here, but I won't flip everything. But in at least two episodes, he said, never underestimate Dr. Mike. And I thought it was very interesting when I heard him say it the first time. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wrote that down. And then he said it again, I think in episode 11, to never underestimate Dr. Mike. And I could just hear this kind of being a theme of someone who ends up winning, never underestimate Dr. Mike. So that's my thoughts.
All right. Well, I would be perfectly happy with, well, honestly, I would be happy with almost any outcome at this point. You know, I just think that the players that we have left, I like at least certain aspects of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are some people who have been down on this season. Personally, I have not. I've been enjoying it, and I've really been enjoying the latter part. So, you know, I'm happy with whoever wins as long as it is an earned win.
Yes. No, and I agree. I think that there have been, you know, this is the hard thing with Survivor. Obviously, we're watching it as a viewer, and we don't really know what is truly going on the island and where people's heads are at when they're debating who they want to vote for and when they're in Ponderosa and they're thinking about all of these things. But I think it's interesting when I was on Penn Forum this past week, and Andrea was asking us kind of, what do you use to pick? And, you know, who do you vote for to win the game? What are the kinds of things that you look for? And Brett said something that I thought was very interesting, and it was very telling. Brett said that he would vote for someone that he liked, that he would vote for somebody that made it fun to be out there and that he got along with and had a good relationship. He didn't say
it would be someone who gave him a beer.
Well, that might be too. But it wasn't about gameplay. It wasn't about winning immunity idols or winning immunity and finding idols and being strategic. It was literally somebody that I like. And if there's one resonating theme that we have seen throughout this season, I think it's that Mike is likable. Everybody likes Mike. He's managed to stay in the game this long because of his likability. And he even said in that, I think it was in the web confessional you mentioned, where he didn't even know if he could beat anybody, but that he was trying to kind of be a father figure and someone that people can talk to and someone that they can feel open and just have a relationship with. And he's been funny and he's witty and he's quirky. And I think that people appreciate that. When you are sitting in that environment and you're having to decide who you're going to award that money to, your personal feelings and beliefs about that individual have a lot to do with that decision. And I think it has more to do with it for some people than it does others. And we've seen bitter juries before that are just kind of angry at people, even though they might have played a great game. They don't win because there are people that are bitter on the jury.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. So it will be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you know, Ben could power through the last two immunity challenges and that's, you know, that's all she wrote. And both of us will be completely wrong because we didn't think he could do that. So,
well, and you want to know something? I have to say one more thing. I'm sorry. But one of the things Ashley said, and again, I shouldn't read so much into people's exit interviews, but she said, this is not a final three that anyone would expect. And when I read that, I'm like, damn it, that means Ben's in the final three. Because I was like, nobody expects him to make it. So maybe that's what the big thing is with CBS, how it's going to be such an incredible finale because Ben actually pulls it through and makes it to the final three and surprises everybody because nobody expects him to make it.
Right. And, you know, I think we're both in complete agreement that if that happens, Ben wins.
Oh, and absolutely.
All of our calculations go right out the window.
That's right. We did with it what we could with what we had.
So, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I have a hashtag for you here. Puzzly things.
I think that's perfect.
All right.
Puzzly things.
So puzzly things. P-U-Z-Z-L-Y things.
I like it. Make sure you and spell it correctly.
That's right. And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YXLost. Everyone listening, make sure you subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts so you can, you know, get the finale episodes and interviews and everything else by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor or adding the Survivor, the RHAP Survivor feed in whatever podcatcher you use. We are also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed in the same podcatcher. In both places, you can find all of the great RHAP content like Know-It-Alls and The Wiggle Room and interviews and the RHAP B&B. Everything's there. Also, you should be sure to check out the various blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. And one more reminder, because if you've waited this long, then you need one more reminder to head on over to robhasawebsite.com/gifts for all of your holiday shopping needs. Now, due to holiday schedules, I want to let everyone know we will be rushing to get out the finale for Y Blank One.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone listening, you can look for that to arrive hopefully the Saturday after the finale, just before Christmas.
It's a wonderful Christmas gift.
That's right. And, you know, if you're traveling somewhere that weekend, then you can have this to listen to while you're driving or flying or unicycling, however you're getting there.
Just don't take notes while you're driving.
No, that would be a terrible thing to do.
Horrible.
Yes. So, but in the meantime, everyone listening can and should follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89. And I, of course, am at David Bloomberg, both on Twitter and on Snapchat. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Y Blank Lost podcasts. As always, thanks to Will from America for the theme song. And of course, thanks to you, Jessica, for this great extra long episode. Thanks to all our predictions.
Well, thank you, David Bloomberg. It was fun as always. And yes, you should follow us on Twitter. We are quite entertaining, I must say. And I hope that you've enjoyed our extra long podcast and I can't wait to see who wins.
All right. Well, we will see that in just a few days, and then we will have Y Blank One just a few days after that. So we will see everyone then. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around.
He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. This is why blank lost.